live from 50th and Capitol Avenue in the Big O. This is Mornings with Sharp and Handley on 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, and 1620 The Zone TV. Now here's Gary, Nick, and Jimmy.
I just got three things to say. God bless our troops. God bless America. And gentlemen, start your engine!
Gonna be a long weekend. That's a good thing. It is the kickoff to summer, Memorial Day weekend. Welcome in on a feel-good Friday. Maybe. So I guess bringing Frank Solich back and having the Solich family meander out to midfield at halftime of the spring game didn't work because last night downtown, and for those that are getting up early and are still, you are below the belt feeling it again. Another gut punch, a dislodging of the codpiece last night as Maryland in a marathon, a game of twists and turns. Maryland hits a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 10th, and all of a sudden Nebraska is in the danger zone. But what a... It's like you could see it coming, but you don't expect it. You want to say that, nah, that stuff is over again. But dang. It's the beauty of baseball. Last night was on display downtown at the Chuck, where one little thing, like missed opportunities, getting a guy in from third, or one pitch when you've been really good, is just elevated a hair to a guy that hits mistakes really well. And the next thing you know, the ball is over the wall in left center field. And the guy from Maryland's running around the bases mocking the Nebraska fans that are basically saving the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, waving. It was 2019 Oklahoma City is what it felt like. You know, you're in a position to beat a really good team. Missed opportunities in that regional against Oklahoma State. And then you got Colby Gomez on the mound who was your guy all year in that position, and then all of a sudden just gives up a tater. Last night, we got good Shea. The night before, we did not get good Shea. And like any other pitcher, he left one a little bit fat. And I was telling Sharpie this before the show. You got Shaw, Schlieger, and LaRusso are the guys that are going to make you. Yeah. And that's not to say anybody else in that lineup is not capable of hitting the long ball, but those are the guys you got to. Yes, they're the most dangerous. And you've got him in a two-strike situation. It's a 2-2 count. And as soon as he swung it, you're like, okay, just ballpark hold it. Ballpark hold it. And it damn near almost did. But It just felt like Oklahoma State, Nebraska, 2019.
Well, go back even. So this is kind of where Husker Athletics is in games like this. And hey, there's the sports gods, and then there's sometimes you just do it to yourself. Okay, you're not good enough. You go a game of inches, and that's the beauty of baseball and sport, is that it is truly a game of inches. The play before at the dugout, the little pop-up. You make a... Which it's not a routine play. You make a really, really good play. You're out of the inning, and you go to the 11th, and you have no idea what's going to happen in the 11th. Now, right. Nebraska offensively has been absent, really, in this entire tournament. But last night was one of those. So you've got you got two balls and two strikes. You got one of the best hitters in the league is up, and the whole stadium. And again, Nebraska fans are saving the Big Ten tournament. I'm Captain Obvious this morning, but they bring energy to that place. Mm-hmm. Good on the Iowa fans that are showing up, but it's Nebraska fans that are saving the Big Ten baseball tournament here in Omaha. So you have all the fans that are up and clapping, and they endured a lot. They had a 93-minute lightning/rain delay.
Was there a storm?
It did rain lightly.
Okay.
Well, it was just very... First of all, it was very odd how they stopped the game. Like, I didn't
see... It was very subtle.
I didn't see...
It was like a gorgeous night where I was.
A flash of lightning.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, the home plate umpire, Butch Hugg is like, get off the field! But it was just very awkward, and everybody leaves, and of course they put up the sign on the scoreboard that we're in the middle of a lightning delay. And while that was going on, people are getting upset because it's not raining. They don't fully put the tarp on the field initially.
Out on the side,
I think people went across the street and started to drink because once they resumed, it was rowdy. It was actually really, really fun. So
it sounded like it.
So you get to the bottom of the 10th, and the way the game is going, and Nebraska in the top of the ninth, they blew an opportunity where they had a runner on third, and then Bryce Matthews still second, so he had runners on second and third. But then Burnham, off, we're going to talk about the Nebraska offense, but he strikes out. Mm-hmm. But people were jacked up. So you get to the bottom of the 10th, and you're thinking, man, Shanahan is pitching really, really well. He looks like the good Shea.
Yep.
He's inducing ground balls. He's making pitches. That slider looks really, really good. But everybody is up and clapping. Everybody. Except for the, I think, 4.5 Maryland fans that were situated behind their dugout.
The half. Yes.
And the people, half is a people are in unison. And you're like, man, this is Haymarket Park.
Yep.
And I tell you, we've all been around moments where you see a big shot and it's on not on your team and how things go silent. You just, when you heard the ball off the bat, you knew that it was gone. I mean, at least I did. And it went silent in the ballpark. Just the only thing you could hear were the, I'll give them credit, 5.5 Maryland fans.
And then their
entire dugout that came out and celebrated like they had won a game in June in that stadium.
Yeah.
And good for them. I mean, that was a good
walk-off's a walk-off. Yeah. I mean,
but
it is.
But just the complete silence.
Yeah.
And then there is this thing that everybody that follows Husker Athletics, and they live and breathe, and it's a religion, and have been through all of these dislodging of the codpiece moments, when you mass walk out of the stadium, and it's just like silence.
It's like a funeral procession.
I know that one.
It just is a very, we've all been, you look to your left, you look to your right, and you go, there's a nod.
It's a nod.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
Been there before. But that...
It's a funeral nod.
That one stings because for the way that game was played, and then Maryland's going to the NCAA tournament, you silenced. Jace Kaminska was fantastic.
He was. He didn't have his stuff, but he was.
And your bullpen was really, really good. Yep. But you held a great hitting lineup down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your great hitting lineup in terms of power couldn't do anything.
Nope.
And Jace Dean was fantastic for Maryland. But in a game where you get that kind of a pitching performance, and you're not forced to score 6 or 7 runs, and you come up on the wrong end, that is going to rank right up there in some of the great gut punches of Nebraska athletics in the last decade.
Yeah, because so many things were good. You're right. And you're also right about, it wasn't like you're asking Nebraska to, you know, go 5 runs plus in this game. You know, just go well above your season average against a pitching staff that, albeit Savakul on the Sunday game against Nebraska, kept them in check for the most part. But, I mean, it wasn't like he was invincible, and ironically, he gets the win in relief. But other than that, Nebraska had been okay. I mean, they had leads in all of those games against Maryland on the road. So they did have the ability to connect and make solid contact with Maryland pitching. And you're right about Nick Dean, just like Jace Kaminska. Kaminska, for me, this is what I loved about his effort, because I thought Emmett Olson for 3 innings yesterday had his stuff, was getting first pitch strikes, was changing eye level so much. There were so many good things about what Emmett Olson did where you're like, yeah, he's locked in and he's got the goods. Jace was up a little bit. You could tell Jace, the velocity wasn't there as much as you've seen it before, but you know what? The kid just competed his schnuts off. I mean, it's that when you always talk about starting pitching. Out of 5 starts, they always say you're going to have your stuff maybe once. How do you get wins? How do you compete in the other 4? And Jace Kaminska was a great example of that. He just bulldogged it. He competed. He got outs despite not having his best stuff. Hawkins was good. Shea was good. So you get that part of the equation. Defensively, Nebraska was pretty sound. You know, there were moments, again, that the play that right before the precursor of the home run, Ben Columbus is probably maybe a hair away from being able to reach his arm over the dugout bench and be able to make over the fence and make that catch. Shea goes almost toppling over. Thank goodness he was fine. But yeah, I mean, we talked about this before. That would have been a spectacular play if they get that play. But then so there was nothing that I can look at defensively other than something that was left flat and hanging over the plate otherwise what was a very good appearance. I mean, Shea's very first pitch, he gets out of a jam with 6-4-3 double play.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, damn, okay, let's go. And then see the pitches that followed.
Beginning of that inning.
Oh, yeah, the mound.
Well, that.
Yeah, that issue going on, too. There was stuff. It was a weird game. But everything in the offensive side of it for Nebraska, the opportunities are there, the 11 runners left on base, some at-bats where you're wondering, you know, what maybe the approach was there, what you're looking for in certain situations for an offensive team. I mean, I still think from what you got out of the bullpen, what you get from guys like Emmett and Jace throughout the year, and Nebraska defensively now being one of the best in the Big Ten, I still think this is an offensive identity team, and you didn't need that much. You just needed more competitive at-bats, which that was unfortunate.
Yeah, you didn't get any timely hits. And the other part of last night is, you know, the ball doesn't necessarily carry really well at night in that ballpark. And you had the wind. I mean, everybody's saying, hey, can't you hit the ball on the ground, hit a line drive? There were so many fly balls.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not fly balls that were going all the way to the warning track on every time that there was a swing. So to have on a night where the ball's not carrying, the final run to be scored on a home run that goes over the left center field fence.
Yeah.
But back to Nebraska offensively, they haven't been very good in the two games here. Mm-hmm. Rutgers gifted them a lot the day before. And granted, Maryland pitched well, but there were no timely hits. But Nebraska also has to look in the mirror and go, we did it to ourselves last night. You left six on in the last four innings.
Yeah.
You had opportunities early in the game to add to your lead. Okay, you had opportunities just to get a man over and in and couldn't do it. And when you're playing a team like Maryland, that comes back to bite you. And I don't know, you know, now you say, well, okay, with who knows what's going to be with pitching, and you got to run off four in a row. You got to get the bats going. I don't know. I haven't liked a lot of their approaches at the plate. And also, here's the thing that is pretty glaring. Bryce Matthews is not 100% at all. I don't know if he's 90%. And he's grinding, but you can tell that it is affecting him.
There was a play that he tried to make in the hole. And this is where I know defensively, because I'll say this for Bryce, even with him not having the gaudy offensive numbers. I mean, the very first at bat, he almost goes yard. He's making some good contact. So I do think there is something to be said, despite the lack of hits. The contact seems to be there, but I do wonder if he's kind of fatiguing there later in the game, because there was a play that he made in the hole, and it was never really discussed at all. He had to range to his right, makes the play, makes a strong throw, guy's safe. But you could kind of see him wincing a little bit. And I remember as soon as he uncorked it, because it looked like there's no way he was going to get him anyway. So I'm like, Bryce, don't throw it. Especially if you're dealing with some lower back issues. And I mean, he just unleashed a frozen rope. And what that is going to do from that movement from his right, then coming up and having to just put that much torque into a ball over to first, you're going to feel that if you're dealing with something. And you could kind of tell him, or you could kind of tell he seemed like he was a little tight, or maybe just something was off. Now, the rest of the game, body language wise, I didn't really notice anything, but I do wonder if he's been kind of trending in the right direction, but there are moments in this tournament where it's kind of re-aggravated, yeah, or the back is not just quite loose as what he wants. So yeah, I think there's probably moments in the game where it starts to become an issue for him.
So Nebraska now has to win four in a row to get to the NCAA tournament. They got to win basically three in the course of 30 hours, and they play Michigan State tonight at 7. It looks like Will Walsh will start. Michigan State's not a great team. They don't have a lot of pitching depth. But in these games, now where it's you're taxing your bullpen and you're just trying to piece things together, you got to score a lot of runs. And Nebraska's offense is going to have to show up on a more consistent basis. But going back to what you said about just a weird night, like the delay got kind of loopy. I mean, because people are like, why is it's not raining?
Oh, yeah, people are
pissed. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't see any lightning.
Yep.
Okay, what are we doing? Play ball.
Mm-hmm.
Then you add in, Nebraska had a guy go into the portal in the middle of the rain delay last night.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that, yeah.
C.J. Hood.
Yeah. Hey,
who,
by the way.
You know, Nebraska had relied on out of the bullpen. Now he's had an injury this year. He all of a sudden announces on Twitter he's going in the portal. Now, yeah. I noticed this morning he's deleted it.
Yep.
But come on,
was
man.
Was he not at the game?
It's in the middle of a rain delay. You know that you're watching the game.
Right.
Okay? And you tweet out that you're going in the portal?
It's like,
come on, man.
Husker,
what are we doing here?
Husker fans need something to entertain them during the delay. Here I go. It's like, all right, let's play the transfer portal game. You know, everybody plays fun little games during the rain delays. Baseball players are notorious for it. Do fun things, creative things.
I guess we play simple things. Watch This Week in Baseball.
And then, the broadcast, we're going to go back to campus eats, or we're going to see some old Cubs games, if you were watching WGN. Let's play the transfer portal game. You know what? A better time than now just to announce my decision to leave the baseball team. Yeah, because and he's a guy that we've mentioned a couple times throughout the season of knowing he was coming back from an injury. And I know at some point they felt like he was maybe getting close to being maybe activated. Never happened. And I always kind of wondered about that. But yeah, then all of a sudden you see that right around the time that it was during the delay. And we're like, well, that's odd timing. I guess you have an audience all of a sudden. Because if that game is not delayed, does he still announce that?
No, because he's watching the game.
I doubt it.
Yeah, why we got a break in the action? I want to tell you all something.
So Nebraska, Michigan State tonight. We'll see how much attention, how much of a crowd is there. Good crowd last night. It was not. We have to discuss this. So there was a lot of discussion that they were going to open up the outfield, and there were going to be all these Husker fans that were going to be there, that tickets were just flying. There were only 8,000 people there. Mm-hmm. So it was in the range of what we thought.
The social media made it look like it was going to be more.
I thought it could exceed 10.
So here's what I think happened. And I don't know their ticket system well enough. I've been involved in the ticketing part of it, so I know how those systems work and whether you can block somebody's
IP
billing
address.
Yeah. There's they're a lot from of Nebraska trying to buy Colorado tickets.
Some Maryland zip codes.
Or if you block off seats. So here's what I think happened is they opened up some seats, but then they realized they don't have enough staffing. They do not have enough staffing. I'm not exactly sure because it wasn't like there were 15,000 people there last night. There were probably a good hearty 8,000 that were into it from the jump. Mm-hmm. So that got really weird. On why all of a sudden are they opening up seats, and then did they pull them back, or once they realized that there was not a rush, there just seemed to be a lot of confusion.
There.
But there was a good crowd there last night. It was full of Nebraska fans. They were rowdy, especially after the delay, and everybody was ticked off in the concourse and like, what is going on? When are we going to start? 10 o'clock. And then, by the way, you walk out of there, it's 11:20 when that game ended last night. So I don't know. It's 7 o'clock tonight. Nebraska's got a win to keep their season alive. I think there was a letdown. I said, hey, if they're 2-0, then boom, open up the gates. The place is going to be rocking and rolling this weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're playing Michigan State as well. And if you win, you got to beat Maryland twice. And then on the other side, Iowa's really, really good.
Yes, they are.
Iowa's playing some really good baseball. So just all around, just a major gut punch last night for Nebraska baseball. And then that kind of game where, you did a lot of things right. And one pitch got elevated and ended up in the stands.
Yeah,
what are you gonna say? You're gonna say, well, we had some opportunities to score runs, yes,
right.
But it's I don't know. Do you look in the mirror and go, man, that's baseball?
The fact that you look at what Maryland does offensively and how many fly balls they hit last night that probably would have been out of their ballpark, quite a few. But again, Jace Kaminska and the Nebraska pitching staff, other than that very last pitch, played the ballpark. They pitched to the ballpark. It worked into their favor. You held Maryland to 2 runs and 8 hits.
Yep.
If you're telling Will Bolt, Jeff Christie that before the game, you're gonna get two runs is all. You're like,
take your chances.
We're winning this game. Yeah. We're winning this game because I like our shot of being able to get more than 2 runs against a Maryland team. We talk about Nebraska being an offensive identity team. Maryland's definitely an offensive team. They've got like Falco is a good pitcher. Savakul.
It was odd they brought him in the 10th.
Dean was awesome last night, but Dean's numbers on the whole isn't a guy that you're going to be like, damn, this dude is like seriously like a matchup issue. So it's an offensive team. So what Nebraska was able to do to counter that was a major success. But for the thing that Nebraska does so well, and now adding that element that we've seen here in the back end of the season of not afraid to go small ball, get guys in scoring position because we feel like even the bottom of the lineup can make good contact, can go to all fields, can get a ball elevated if they need to bring a guy in from third, can get a ball to the right side if they need to move runners from first to third. All those things that Nebraska's shown a propensity to do, it all escaped them yesterday in a moment that they didn't need much. It wasn't like they needed to just go gorilla ball. They just needed a couple more. That was it for a team that's usually been able to provide that.
Yeah, if you're in the NCAA tournament, a game like last night, you stand up and you hat tip the other team and you go, hey, good ball game.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are fighting and you have to win your tournament to get
exactly.
in, those are the kind of losses that are going to sting. So
yep.
we'll see what happens tonight. That's kind of a culture thing of guys are going to have to get at it. But they're going to have to grind for 9 innings.
Mm-hmm.
And that offense is going to have to string more good at-bats together because they have been lopsided here. They look, I don't know, almost from that standpoint at the plate, they look tight.
Yeah.
They're not having great at-bats.
No.
I mean, and we're going to get to, this is a problem, and I've had a problem with in college baseball, and I know some programs teach it, but this epidemic of leaning into a pitch to get hit in college baseball.
Charlie Fisher.
And he didn't need to.
Nope.
If he just stands straight up and down in his regular stance, he gets hit by the pitch.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
And then you have these long reviews. It's, you know, last night was a lost opportunity, and now we'll see. I mean, Nebraska's got to run the table now.
Throw this one out. If they do win tonight, and they should expect to, but if they do win tonight, what the hell is that pitching going to look like tomorrow?
Yeah, because you're done with Shea at least
Shea's
until
not
Saturday.
Yep.
But even you're going to have to probably go Johnny Holstaff.
Yeah,
and you're just going
to
say that
you're going to have to ride guys
Page
until
Junior
they
Christo.
Run out of gas. Because, you know, I think from the standpoint of going to get guys at the right time, we talked about this yesterday and how they managed getting Shea out quickly, Kyle mm-hmm. Perry out quickly. I thought they did a really good job last night when, it, you know, Kaminska was starting to teeter.
Yep.
And they didn't go get him. And they let him get out of the inning, which it could have been trouble. Because
mm-hmm.
when you felt like, okay, Maryland's tied it up at one, now they're going to break through. So I said before, this is a Jeff Christie week in Omaha because of how he manages it.
So knowing your staff.
Yeah, now it's even more. But I think you start to string things together and you ride guys as far as they can go and then you quickly hand it off to the next guy.
Yeah.
And you hope that people just keep picking each other up out of the bullpen or whoever, you know, is tabbed to start.
Yeah, because I would think Kyle would be able to go give you some innings tonight. But I'm thinking about it. And again, you got to get to tomorrow first and foremost. So I don't want to overlook Michigan State in that equation. But you know, you feel like, okay, well, we at least got Will Walsh. You know Will Walsh. He's been throwing on Sundays. He's a guy that has enough innings. The whole start in that routine is not going to be something new for him. But you get out of that. Tomorrow, are you looking at a Drew Christo? Are you looking at, hell, maybe Jalen's there, Jackson Brockett? You know, you're looking at a lot of different guys.
Well, I think everybody's available.
Yeah, at that point, they are. Other than
Emmett Olson is the only guy that's not available, and you hold him for hopefully getting to Sunday.
Yep, if you're there on Sunday, then there's your guy on short rest. Shea probably is back in the equation tomorrow. He's not going to be a factor tonight. But even that, as we kind of ride the Shea roller coaster too, if you are, you need to make sure he is well rested, like he's communicating that with you, because if you bring him back out there, of course Shea's going to say, I'm ready to go. But that fatigue, especially with, you know, Shea's control issues at times, you know, there's a lot of questions. If they get to tomorrow, it's going to be very, and that's where you do look at how does Jeff Christie handle this pitching staff if they get beyond tonight.
All right. You were there last night. You watched the game. You got thoughts on what Nebraska does moving forward as another gut punch happens. We'll chat with you, 951-1620. You can always get us on that number and into the conversation. You also, that's the text line as well. You can email us into the Equitable Bank inbox, Gary or Nick at 1620, or Hanley at 1620thezone.com.
There's also a lot of different things
JTech
there.
Construction Zone Twitter feed at Gary Sharp 1620, at Nick 1620 as well. Scott Docterman's going to join us coming up at 8. We'll ask him if he thinks that the teams that play in the east of the Big Ten realize that when it's November and you play a 3:30 Eastern game, that the game ends at night.
And it's mostly at night.
Yeah.
So Doc will join us with a lot of stuff going on. And plus, we'll get into Iowa football. Somebody told me that there could be some big news out of Iowa City today. Did not allude to what it would be, but that there could be a Friday news dump in Iowa City on Memorial Day weekend.
Does this have anything to do with the investigation of
I don't know.
Sports gambling, or is it something else?
Those are the kind of things you dump.
I asked him, and he would not. He did not respond after initially saying, "Hey, keep your eye on Iowa City today."
Hmm.
So I don't know what it would be, but think about it. It's a Friday, and this isn't in particular to Iowa, but any like news you just want to
go away,
just get it out, and then is you're going into a Memorial Day weekend.
Yep. Yep.
On a Friday.
People are checked out by about noon today, if at all.
Yeah, this is where the thought behind a news dump on a Friday sometimes.
Yeah, if I'm a PR person,
yeah,
I just, you know what, maybe like 4:30 on a Friday, and then everybody has shut their computers down. We'll see you on Tuesday.
The offices are all empty.
When did that happen?
A few weeks ago. Three. Yeah. Like, did I hear that right on Friday? I thought I heard. You know what? A couple days have passed.
Fire up the grill.
So Doc will join us coming up at 8. Mike Schaefer stops by at 8:30. Matt Verzel will chime in at 9:20 before we send you off to a extended weekend, Memorial Day weekend on a feel-good Friday that not feeling very good for Nebraska fans who wandered out of the stadium at 11:20 last night. Some of them might still be in downtown Omaha, their head down, wandering the street, wondering, where is my purpose? Why does this continue to happen? And all they do is they murmur every single gut punch of Husker athletics over the last, 20 years.
That's a long morning, if that's the case.
Oklahoma City. Dublin.
Onside kick.
Can't you just see them? They look like they haven't slept. They're just wandering right now in the old market.
How many people made reference to the onside kick after the home run last night? Damn onside kick! God! Give us a break.
How many people are upset at Solich?
Well, I saw you and Jacob blaming Kevin Warren on the weather delay.
No, I just said there's a reason. Last night was a reason why.
Or it was Jacob, I'm sorry.
There's a reason why you don't play night football games in November because of lightning. Because then,
of course.
Then you got to, because it's safety, and then you got to clear the stadium. It's a big logistical nightmare in November dealing with lightning. So that also is a reason
happens
why
a lot in November.
You don't play those games.
Yeah, it's a common occurrence. Especially in these parts in November. So keep that in mind.
All right. Off and running. 35 past the hour. It's Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.